The Bible says that we can draw near to God, and it's not only something that is a should be in the Christian life, but what a wonderful privilege to actually have a relationship with the Creator of the universe through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like you to meet two people who have felt that they have been able to draw nearer to God through their own experiences and have actually developed not only a ministry but also a book that is called simply Glimpses or Glimpses of Hope. I want you to meet Philippe and Jen Deschambrier as they talk about, some stories that you've experienced, but also opportunities that you've had a chance to walk alongside other people. Jen, let's go with you first, since you put together the book Glimpses, and tell me more about that idea and how the Lord has opened up doors of ministry.
Glimpses of Hope originated from a relationship that I had with the late Carrie Oliver, who was a nationally known speaker and Christian counselor. And I was asked to come alongside her as she came to MD Anderson for treatment of pancreatic cancer in 2005 through 2007. During this time, we became fast friends, friends in the Lord, friends because of suffering. It was a friendship really preordained by God. We could both see that. And not unlike probably the friendship between David and Jonathan, where it was really Christ-focused and based on who He is, not on the problems that we were going through.
And the Lord has allowed you to put some of that into writing so that we can read about it as well.
That's right. Glimpses, Two Stories of Hope and Healing, is a book really of God's promises, of His faithfulness through all circumstances. It's not a book about cancer. It's a book about life, about who He is, about His promise keeping. It's a book of faith, not of fear. A book about being more than conquerors through Him who loved us.
Now, whether or not He heals us, right? Because in Carrie's case, ultimately, she did succumb to the cancer.
She did. And yet, throughout, every single page of this book carries the hope that we have in Christ, that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And Paul says that we rejoice also in our sufferings. And not that we rejoice that we are suffering to be really martyrs so much as we rejoice in the knowledge that as we suffer, God meets us in the person of Jesus Christ in the midst of that suffering and carries us through it and reveals Himself to us in such an intimate way that the suffering really begins to pale in comparison.
Okay. We're talking today, that's Jen Deschambrier, and her husband Philippe joins me, and we want to talk about the Glimpses of Hope ministry that actually is kind of spawned from the book or dovetailed together. I'm not sure exactly which one came first, but you too see an opportunity to offer hope and not the despair that, you know, when people tell you, oh, listen, I have this disease or I've lost my job or whatever, and Lord has opened doors for you. Encourage folks.
Yes. The funny thing is sometimes circumstances like cancer, like Jan had cancer 22 years ago, which I helped her walk through. The whole thing seems at first like a death sentence or something, and with it comes fear and absence of hope. And in the process, God intercepts our whole lives. He has shown us His grace and His loving kindness and His presence and all sorts of different aspects of things that, you know, especially if you grow up in the church, you think, I didn't know God could be so personal. I didn't know that He could be so intimate with us. And you learn all of that. Not that disease or any kind of catastrophe in your life is necessary, but He will use it in order to reveal Himself. And at first, when Jan wrote the book, I was a little hesitant to read it because I thought, I don't want to have to go through this whole thing again. You know, for years I was sort of the moral support and the encouragement and helping her get her her head back into in focus and toward and learning to worship God and to praise Him in spite of circumstances. And at first it sounds trite, you know. It sounds like, yeah, Paul and Silas could do that in jail and pray and praise God and worship, you know. And you think, yeah, but that was Paul.
Right.
And we put these people on pedestals. But the reality is that Paul was a very real human being who had just been flogged and beaten, and he was bleeding all over the place. And I'm sure in his natural self there was no inclination for him to praise God. But there was this inner reality that he had, this knowledge, this intimate knowledge of God that he had, that gave him the strength to praise God, to worship Him in spite of his back being, you know, transformed into hamburger meat that day. And so there was that reality, this understanding of that the reality of God is greater in his circumstance than the circumstances that surrounded him. And I think that's the grace of God, that He has touched our hearts. He has touched us in a way that there are times when you know, you think when the news that Jan had cancer came to me, you know, I thought that was the worst day of my life. I thought, oh, surely this is the worst thing. And I was at the airport coming home. She was supposed to pick me up. And the Lord spoke to me in the most vivid thing, and it just startled me, completely threw me, because I hang up the phone. She's weeping at the other end, and she says she's sending another person to help to pick me up at the airport. And the Lord spoke to me in the loudest voice I ever heard, but it's in my spirit, in my mind, but it was very loud. And He said, praise me, worship me now. And I thought, you must be kidding me. How can this be? It doesn't make any sense. But I had heard and I had read Corey Ten Boom's story in the prison camp. I had read, you know, the story of Paul and Silas. I had read all these things. So I know there's truth in this. But I'm arguing with God. I say, I can't do this. This is the 911 call. You know, this is the complaint department. And again, He says, praise me, worship me now. And I'm arguing with Him. And then a third time He said it. So I thought, okay, I will. And so I couldn't, you know, I was so emotionally bound that I said, I can only hum, because if I open my mouth, I'm going to bawl. And I started out of obedience, praising Him, worshiping Him. And within moments, a peace of God that passes all our understanding came on me, and I'm going, this is astonishing. But you just know, because there's a presence. You know that there's a restoration and healing that comes. And that sort of completely changed my focus on who God is. He is bigger than the circumstances. He doesn't necessarily save you from the circumstances, but He comes with you side by side. And I know it's an extraordinary thing to hear God's voice in such a loud way, perhaps, but it was it was perfectly consistent with who He is and with His Word. And in the process, you learn that He literally has your name written in the palm of His hand, that He has not abandoned you in any way. And so the whole aspect of ministering to Jan for the following few years, going from surgery to surgery, and you know, every time she had a pimple or a headache, she thought the cancer was back, and it was simply no, this is, you know, the Lord has saved you for a purpose, and I don't know what the purpose is, but it's a process, and so it's been a whole lifetime of going through it and learning, and in the process we discover that hope has a name. You know, it's an intimate relationship with Jesus. And sometimes these things come trite, because you grow up in the church and you have all this terminology, and you say, yeah, you have to know Jesus intimately, and you don't know what it means until it sort of fleshes out in your own experience, and you start realizing this is it has a different flavor from the emotional baggage that I've held on all my life, going to church and hearing all these words. You go, yeah, I understand it intellectually, but suddenly you understand it in your heart, and it looks different, and it becomes hope living in your heart. I think it's there's that verse where he says, we carry in us the death of Christ so that the life of Christ might be made manifest in our bodies. And when you read that at first, it doesn't make any sense. But when he reveals himself, when he shows himself, when he becomes faithful in your life in such a way that it becomes real, then you start thinking, wait a minute, the Lord is really next to me.
Hmm.
He is really my Father. He's really my Abba. He is really the one I can rely on for this time of desperate need. He is really the one who has an answer, and it might not be the answer that I want, but it is. There's a purpose. There's a direction, and there's this comfort. And I think that's why the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. It's not just for emergency situations, but it's because He's constantly revealing the fullness of the nature of God, which is this loving Father who wants to bring us into the full knowledge of who He is.
And not only the experience, but also what Scripture has to say. This helps shape what you have called Glimpses of Hope Ministries, or if you just go to the website, glimpsesofhope.org. And it's an opportunity, and might add that you both are professionals. You're not you're lay ministers. You're not the professional pastor or pastor's wife or things of that nature. Felipe, I think you're a commercial airline pilot.
Yes, I'm a pilot. I've been for 29 years with the same airline.
All right. And Jan?
And I'm a professional musician who was on the faculty of the Shepherd School of Music at Rice University for 15 years and left about a year ago to pursue lay ministry and missions.
And so what the Lord has opened as far as a door now and the purpose of our interview is to let people know that you have opportunities to share what you have experienced and are experiencing, as much as 2 Corinthians 1 talks about, that the God of all comfort comforts us so that we can comfort others. And that's what you seek to do. How do you do it? In a Bible study, in a Sunday school setting? What are the opportunities you've had? And we have to go quickly because we're almost out of time.
Well, for example, a few weeks ago, we had the privilege of speaking to an ecumenical gathering of many churches' cancer support ministries. And this was in New Braunfels. And I spoke on celebrating life on earth as it is in heaven. And it was a wonderful opportunity to share from the book as well as more personal testimonies and to then pray with people afterwards who are going through trials.
Hmm. All right. And sometimes you go overseas even and share.
Yeah, we've been associated with an organization called ILI, International Leadership Institute, which was founded about maybe 11, 13 years ago. And they have now taught what they call the 8 core values of Christian leadership. In some places of the world, like China or Asia or some places, the church is exploding so fast they can't possibly train pastors over a 3-year period. So they have to train – they have to give them what they call these 8 core values of leadership. And so we – there's a whole bunch of – there's a whole curriculum, and we participate in some of these meetings. We've been to Brazil and Colombia and Eastern Europe and so on. And people are trained to lead little groups or bigger groups or growing churches, and it's spreading. And so that's – to us, it's a wonderful outlet of ministering and seeing what God is doing around the world.
All right. Glimpsesofhope.org. I know the book Glimpses is available through that website. If you'd like more information, you can contact them and also even ask them about the speaking engagements. They offer suggested topics. Glimpses of Hope. .org. It is plural, glimpsesofhope.org. Philippe and Jan Desjambrier, our guests today on KHCB, and we appreciate your ministry and continued work as you try to encourage all of us that it is possible to draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Thanks for taking time. We're out of time, but we hope to discuss a little bit more as the Lord allows. This is Christian Radio, keeping Him close by.